this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
I want them to use like wireless energy, do like Tron like stuff, and have them like glowing.
Like, what do you want? You want them wearing like laser tag outfits?
Why does everything have to be so retro?
It's better. It's still not good.
Welcome to a Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is being recorded live Wednesday, October 30th, but guess what? We're going to finally be broadcasting on Cyanet on Thursday, October 31st. So, happy Halloween, kids. It's the Halloween episode of Spooky Doom. This is the Meat Beast. In the studio with me on my right is Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
You're looking beard-tastic, Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to shave that off and start anew for Movember?
No, it's Novembeard.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're going to go Novembeard to change it up and freak us out.
And Decembeard.
I'm taking that right into December, yeah. And
Januarybeard.
Well.
All right.
No, it's Bearduary.
Bearduary, yes.
And
followed
pipe
by
it in there, of course.
Bearduary.
Followed by just Beard. Followed by a Beard.
And the guy that won't shut up, of course, is Kenny sitting across from me.
Well, yeah, I'm Kenny. You can follow me on Twitter.
You are one
pathetic
loser.
Not yet.
And sitting in the control booth of Spooky Doom, of course, is Jive Midnight.
Good evening.
So.
Morning.
Yeah.
Whenever you want to listen.
And yeah,
have fun going to work.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at 3inthebox, blah, 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 insert pantry. Oh, I'm not supposed to read that part, am I?
Whoops.
And yeah, you can hear us now on Cyanet Radio. I believe our time slot is 9 p.m. on Thursdays. I'll double check that this evening and make sure it's up on the Facebook page for us. But why should we keep pansying around? Why don't we just dive right in with last week's Games for the Wild?
So, starting off with last Thursday, the Wild started our week with them beating the Hurricanes 3-1 at home.
Yay!
It was a nice little game to watch.
Yeah, and especially after the struggles last week, it's nice to come out with a win.
Well, and actually have a winning record finally overall. But
right,
that's getting a little ahead of ourselves. So
right. But you know, it's. It was actually a really great game to watch. It was actually the big thing, I think, is the goalies. Both of the starting goalies left the game due to injury. Cam Ward, I don't know if he injured a knee, but he overstretched on a breakaway by Granlund. And Justin Peters comes in to relieve him.
Well, see, and I missed the entire first period, so I assumed that he had just turned into a sieve when I caught the beginning of the second period. And that's why it got pulled. But that was not the case. It was actually
injury. Well, that was also Backstrom's first game since October 8th. So, I mean, we're talking, what, 2 weeks?
Yep.
Almost 2 weeks, week and a half?
Yep.
2 weeks?
Yep.
So,
yeah, and then Harding leaves after two. And, both starters get injured and
goalies. And, yeah, still a decent game to watch and a fun one if you were a Wild fan because we did walk away with the win. Not nearly played up as much as it should have been, of course, is that Niederreiter goal off the no-look from Granlund in the first.
Granlund, man, his passing has been just off the chain lately.
No doubt. I mean, he's making drop passes. He's making no-look passes. He's just getting into dirty areas.
He had some amazing passes later in the week that we'll talk about. But, I mean, he's just been on fire. Like, just his heads-up play, his positioning on the ice, where his fellow teammates are on the ice, you can see the chemistry building on
that
his line.
That line has shown the most chemistry growth. That's I was actually going to bring up.
The one thing, though, is the only thing that's not going for him is scoring goals. He's had several breakaways where it's like him and goalie, and he just flubs it. I don't know if it's just nerves or he's still waiting for that one.
It kind of reminds me of another Finn on the team.
Yeah, I was gonna actually bring that exact point up that there's another
Backstrom?
Finn who. No,
yeah,
I don't
he's
think
getting
we're
a
talking
ton
about
of assists too.
And I was also gonna make the corollary of getting as many assists and setting up as many plays and showing that much leadership on the ice. Maybe we can see a potential A coming on that jersey at some point. Depending on, I wouldn't necessarily expect it yet, but if he keeps up playing like this, I'd say we could expect that.
I'm not going to expect it just because just because of Suter, Parise.
Yeah, I'm not saying this season by any stretch. Okay.
Yeah, definitely not, because Suter's definitely leading that defensive squad right now.
Oh, yeah.
Considering everybody else is, like, what, 23 and younger?
Yeah.
I mean, at least that's what it seems like currently.
With Ballard out,
Until Ballard gets back, it's
I think Stoner's the old guy, and he's, what, 24, 25, something like that, you know?
Yeah, and Scandala's in the same age range,
he's
maybe younger.
23 or 24, yeah, I think. You got a very young defensive squad right now. I don't see Suter losing that age just because he's going to be leading that defensive squad. Parise's just an all around. I look at his work ethic.
I think the only way that we don't have that we have a different captain or different A's
is somebody leaving the team.
Leaving the team.
Yeah, it's going to have to be one of those three.
And it's likely being with the no trade clauses. It's probably going to have to be Koivu.
And I don't see him leaving anytime soon.
I don't either.
No, and I think everybody's real locked into their position. So I'm just saying this is a guy to watch out for because he is going to be that formidable if he's paying that much attention and awareness with everybody that's out there with him.
Oh, no doubt. And I mean, he did have time over the offseason with spending time on ice with Koivu. So maybe he learned something. I mean,
And he was no slouch to begin with when he was getting drafted by us. He was one of the people that we were all looking at going, oh, come on, yeah, let me see it.
But he had a really tough year last year, and he struggled.
Yeah. This year, not so much.
No, he's put on weight, or he's put on muscle.
He's put on mass.
Yeah, he's cultivated mass. and he's getting down, he's, you know, playing more physical, where last year he was basically like a house of cards. He'd fall over, you touched him. He's much more sturdy.
I hope we have him locked up for at least the next 5 or 6 years.
Well, and I think we can probably skip down a line on our liner notes real quick to let you say something about people falling down.
Well, yeah, speaking of people falling down, Heatley continues to flail. He's fallen over on his own volition.
How many times is it going to take before he gets an exaggerating penalty?
I don't think he will because I think he's just that clumsy because he falls down when nobody's even around him.
Right.
I know, but I think he thinks he's about to get touched and that he can.
By what? The puck? He's on, like, his stick?
Well, no. What I think it is he turns over the puck. And he goes, oh, crap, I turned over the puck. I better pretend I got hurt or something so it doesn't look as obvious to Yo that I...
And... Oh, Yo! Yeah.
And Yo, you yakety sax.
But speaking of Heatley, he did score a goal finally.
Finally, an empty netter.
Yeah.
Half a pass for Matt Cook. He delayed pulling the trigger on that empty netter.
Oh, yeah.
Like he was still facing down a goalie.
Cook
wasn't a defenseman right there ready to try and grab it from him.
Well, and the sad part is Cook could have had that goal, but he passed it to Heatley to let
for
Heatley...
the also have the better shot lane.
Well, so Heatley could actually get his final first goal. It was on a power play.
Looking at it from the angle...
With an empty net.
From the angle I was seeing it, Cook's shot could have been easily interrupted by the defenseman, whereas he had the pass available for a clean shot from Heatley. Heatley still should have pulled the trigger on it right away instead of letting two defensemen swarm in.
You're ruining my narrative here.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're probably right. I mean, Cook might have had a chance of having a not great shot, but I think he still had the potential ability to score. Heatley definitely was in a better position to score the empty netter. But it doesn't change the fact that it's still an empty netter on a power play.
That he still just didn't pull the trigger on.
You know,
like, he waited.
At the end of the day, it all looks the same in the stat books.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, not to the scouts or anybody willing to pay the guy money.
Right.
You know,
and at the end of the day, me interrupting you still had us agreeing. And that it was still Heatley's fault.
And who's the only one paying money right now?
Yo. And Fletcher.
Speaking of Heatley falling down, though, later Monday night's game, Aaron and I started coming up with a wild drinking game. And good thing we didn't follow all of our rules because we would have been pulling a Heatley and falling down on with nobody touching us.
Yep. Certainly. not to totally diverge off of our planned discussion here, but okay, so here are the few of the tenets of the Wild drinking game.
One, every time Heatley falls down with nobody around him.
You do.
Okay. You got to drink it.
Every time Granlin has a camera on him and he licks his lips.
Yep.
Okay.
Every time Greenlight says he got handcuffed.
That's got to be a double drink. I mean, that's just horrible.
There's a few more in there.
I think
the fact that you can't remember the rules to the drinking game you made up speaks volumes about how great of a drinking game it is.
It started off with every time Heatley falls, and then it kind of just went downhill from there.
Yeah, I mean, there was enough handcuffing and Heatley falling where we really didn't need any more rules than that. But I'd be more than delighted to entertain more additional rules to this Wild drinking game.
Yeah, hey, kids, that's a thought. If you're following us on Facebook, post up what you think a rule should be on the Three in the Box page for the Wild drinking game.
All right. So, anyways, after that game, Wild call up Johan Gustafsson for injured Josh Harding. That would have been Friday night, who he would have been backing up Backstrom in Chicago on Saturday.
Yeah. Thank you. Hurry, Josh. You're our only hope. Get back here. But the Wild on Saturday were down in Chicago at United Center. And I know I prophesied this last week. The Wild did just take it to Chicago on their own ice and make them feel like itty-bitty people. So, and it's the first regulation loss the Blackhawks have had at home since March of last season.
It's quite amazing.
Granlin, again.
We have a team that can play the heavyweights on their home turf and take them down. I also said that the Wild were going to win that game just because it's the Wild in United Center. It's a Minnesota team going to United Center to play in Chicago now that they're divisional rivals again.
Good prophecy, Moses. So, again, Granlin, 2 assists. Topomaville got 2 goals off of it.
And both of them beautiful. One was a no-look drop pass from behind the net. The other one was a little tic-tac. Just really great passes. I mean,
you know, Wild.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Wild actually got pounded as far as shots go. I mean, they gave up the most shots on goal,
which is a rare thing this season.
Yeah, it has been.
Very rare.
Part of it, well, A, look at who you're playing against. I mean, Chicago's got a phenomenal offensive line, which is why they won the cup last year.
Lines 1 through 4, they all are shooting.
Not a single one is holding back. They're just a phenomenal offensive hockey team.
Yeah.
But they peppered Backstrom, 36 shots on goal. Backstrom gave up 3. But when you're playing against a team like Chicago, you know, you go down on a power play, and you're going to be giving up 3 or 4 shots easily.
Oh, yeah. And then, was it 7 power plays?
Yeah.
7 power plays. I mean,
6 of them were fully shut out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which reminds me a little more of, say, the 2003 era.
The Lemaire era.
Yeah. That the penalty kill is getting back up to the percentage that they were at while playing a trap, where they're not doing that anymore.
No, the Lemaire era was definitely everybody just fall around the goalie, whereas now
collapse.
We've got more of an offensive.
You're still forechecking. I mean,
now we have more of an offensive penalty kill, and it's showing.
We're getting a lot more looks at a shorthanded goal than we did prior.
Yeah, on it out.
We're definitely getting the one man versus the team during a penalty kill to get the line change going, which I always love to see. I always love it when you watch a guy going, great, you're actually outskating the other 5 skaters right now and just eating up time off that clock and not even expecting any support. Nobody's coming in. You're just burning time.
I mean, how many
versus the team, do it and then pick your shot.
I mean, how many penalty kills do the Wild have this season where there's 1, maybe 0, you know, shots on goal?
They've had a few.
They've had several,
And jumping ahead of game, Cook had one. Where he had 3 guys. Cook had 3 guys on him Monday night.
Yeah.
He literally tied up 3 offensive, defensive Blackhawks on a penalty kill down in Chicago's zone where he was still remaining control of the puck.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I want to say that brings us up to Monday, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So let's just tie that right in.
Might as well. So the Wild are then back at home wearing white jerseys.
That's odd.
Well, wearing the away jerseys at the home ice, you do that once a year for the fans.
I don't remember them doing that before.
I don't either.
I remember them doing it.
Oh, really?
They haven't necessarily done it every year, but I know they have done it before.
Who's clamoring for this?
Not me.
I don't know.
After this game, I don't think anyone's going to be. Wild lose 5-1. Just a stinker of a game, really.
Let's call it Minnesota Nice.
No, let's not do this again. We're not freaking Gophers.
So, yeah, the Wild gave up 4 unanswered goals after being tied 1-1 with less than half of the game remaining.
Yeah, that one goal, again, Granlin to Palmaville. Yeah. And Palmaville just rocketed one right past Crawford. Yeah. Crawford had nobody in front of him. There was no screen. It was just a slapper from the top of the circle, and it just went right over Crawford's shoulder.
It's like you saw his reaction was just delayed. It was like, holy cow, the puck's already here. You know?
Yeah, he just rocketed it past Crawford. Reverse side of that, Backstrom looked like a fish out of water that game.
He's flopping all over the place. He was several times where it's like the score was 5-1. It could have been way worse, actually.
There's a big thing with Dumba playing a big part in that. He had a bad night that night. He was not on top of his game, and I think, he knocked Backstrom over for one of the goals.
Oh, yo.
All right, see, now this is what we're getting on about, yo. You need to remember that if one of your main goalies is turning into a sieve, go ahead and pull them and put in the backup, even if they're from the minor league affiliate. And
I don't blame Backstrom on this, though.
Well, I don't blame Backstrom, but no. He obviously was
not
blame
Yo.
Playing this game. Yo should have.
And Harding sitting on the bench.
Harding was on the bench.
All right. So he had no excuse not to.
Even if it would have been, however, if it would have still been Gustafson, it should have been a no-brainer that after at least the third unanswered goal in the second half of the game.
I know there was at least the one where Dumba literally had ran into Backstrom, knocked Backstrom over, which created the open net for Chicago.
Right. But you also had the one where it was right down 5-hole.
Some of these were very stoppable goals.
Right.
At what point does Yo's testicles need to drop enough to swap the goalie?
Right. I mean, 4 unanswered goals.
Yeah.
At what point do you stop and go, okay, enough's enough?
You know, with that.
After proving that we just whooped the snot out of that same team on their home ice with very passionate fans that the old North Stars did have to jump over the bench to beat the snot out of.
Yeah, it happens.
Exactly.
With that being said, though, with Backstrom being out of spot, Granlin, again, assumes the position. And we had to rewind this because I didn't catch it at first.
No.
But Granlin literally went behind Backstrom when Backstrom was about, 3 feet out of the crease?
Yeah. One of the times where Chicago should have scored.
Granlin dropped down behind Backstrom, assuming the butterfly position, I believe with one stick in his hand and his other hand up in a goalie position.
Well, he did play goal for a bit.
By blocking the net, I really think you helped your team.
It was pretty impressive. I mean, you know, not only is he getting assists, but he's willing to jump down and take a puck in the face without a mask.
Okay, so kids, if you have a fantasy league with the NHL, maybe make sure that you've got blocked shots in there and maybe get goaltending scoring petition going for Granlin as well as the regular scoring.
So with the speaking of Dumba and his miscues, I think that brings us to a great topic of what are the Wild going to do with Dumba?
Well, and that was brought up the night of the game, too. He's got a lot on his mind, and I'm sure his head wasn't completely in the game because he doesn't know if he's going to stay on or get dropped back down.
He's at 9 games on the season. If he plays the 10th game, his pro contract starts. He cannot be returned to the WHL.
Is that 10 games a season, or is it 10 games in a row?
10 games in the season.
So basically, if we dropped him back down, we could not bring him up again.
This season.
This season.
Right.
But who else would we be able to drop down at that point when Ballard gets healthy?
Well, we always have healthy scratches. I mean, you always got space, and I don't even know what we're doing for healthy scratches right now.
How much space? That's the question, really.
What, you know, and then also you got to look at is what's Dumba going to put on the salary cap?
Well, he's not going to put much.
Well, it'll be entry level contract. Right.
But I think the bigger thing is that
$23 in a Ford Fiesta.
No function beer well without.
Is he gonna get enough skating time? I think that's one big thing with Dumba. Is he gonna develop well at the big team? That's another big question.
No, but I think it'd be a good shot for at least once Ballard comes back and once Brodin comes back, we can send him down to Iowa and get him a little bit better playing experience. I think it'd almost be a waste of his talent to send him all the way back down to.
I agree.
His junior team.
Right. The junior team was set.
Red Deer.
Just checking. So it's not the Solar Bears.
No.
Or
No. It's a
Canadian
junior team.
Is it QMJHL?
I think it's CHL.
CHL?
Yeah. Or WHL. I can't remember which one.
I just want to make sure he was properly in the juniors, not in one of the farm teams.
Nope.
I mean, how can you bring a kid up, let him play that many games, and skate with the team that much, and then all of a sudden say, we're not even going to send you down to our minor league team. We're going to send you back to high school.
Happened to Brett Ballmer.
Yeah.
And he hasn't made it back up to the NHL.
Well, he's got to do a lot on his ego.
I argue, screw it. Like, let him play with either the Solars or the Iowa Wild and let his contract start.
At least.
Well, I mean, really, the Wild are going to need
him. He's earned it at this point. And the Wild are going to need him.
I mean, who knows how long Ballard's going to be out. He's having concussion syndrome. You know, post-concussion syndrome. So who knows how long until Ballard's back.
Hopefully Brodin, maybe Friday.
Maybe.
He's been playing with a bubble.
Maybe.
Right now, his face is so swollen, he doesn't have full vision.
Hockey is so violent and dangerous.
I mean, honestly, I don't see how they can send Dumba down.
They can't.
They're not going to be able to.
One, they can't, and two, it would be wrong and insulting to him.
And they don't have the depth. They don't have the depth in Iowa to fill those spots.
I look at how many guys he passed up just with the Solar Bears and the right. Iowa Wild to get that position. There's no way they're going to send them back down.
We've got zero depth at the blue line.
None.
Zero depth. He is our depth.
Scandala has been great, though, at the blue line.
He has. But
Spurgeon been doing it righteous. Granlund, we're starting to show a little more depth.
Sure.
That what we were expecting to be some depth last year is proving itself this year.
But Stoner and Prosser, that's basically our backup then.
Yeah.
And they're okay. I mean,
Suter, of course, is going to be a stud.
Right.
We all know it. But
Prosser's getting along. He's starting to develop. He's starting to grow.
And Stoner's having a better year than he did last year.
Well, he's not paired up with Gilbert this year.
Yeah. I'm also going to go out on a limb here and say, you know what? Don't even bother sending Dumba down. Keep him on the Wild bench.
I think
they're going to have to for now. If they sign him,
I honestly think
they're not going to have a choice.
If they sign him, instead of sending him down to one of the minor league teams, don't even bother. Consider somebody else to send down and let him condition in the NHL so he's already at an NHL level as opposed to conditioning him at a minor league level and then having to make another adjustment again.
Not to drag this on longer, but I'll just say if he hits 10 games and it's only going to be a matter of time that they're going to have to juggle stuff if Ballard and Brodin come back. So that'll be Yo's tough decision at that point. But it'll give Dumba a little bit more chance to season at the big league level. If he needs to send him down to Iowa because he's still struggling, so be it.
Hopefully that also increases the Iowa Wild blue line a little bit more, too.
Yeah, true.
It's still tough saying Iowa Wild and not Houston Arrows.
Yeah, no kidding. And hopefully we'll be making that trip down in February. The 15th and 16th to see the Wild play the Ice Hogs. But
Tucker, competitive violent. That's why you're here.
More on that hopefully in the next couple of weeks. But speaking of upcoming.
Josh. Oh, nerds.
Really? All right. So we got this Friday, November 1st, the Wild versus the Habs. I really want to be at that game, but can't. Then on Sunday, we've got the Devils back here at home as well. Actually, all these are home games. What am I talking about?
The Devils, the big notable thing, it'll be Parise's first time against his former team.
At home.
At home.
At period.
Yeah, because they didn't play each other last year at all. Yep.
Period.
Okay, so Devils versus the Wild on Sunday. That's a 7 p.m. game. We did check that to make sure that you guys know it's a nighttime game, not an afternoon. Don't get up early. And then Tuesday, playing former.
Also, it is daylight savings time. So
yeah, it is.
Oh, make sure you don't get up early, don't you know?
Oh, for cute. Former divisional rival, the Calgary Flames, will be in town on Tuesday, November 5th. So it'll be a little bit of fun.
So we're actually playing three different teams from three different divisions.
None of them are our own.
None of them are our own. We got the Atlantic, the Metro, and the Pacific.
I totally mistook it that the Devils and the Canadiens were on the same.
Ooh.
All right. I obviously didn't pay attention to the other divisions.
The Devils are Metro.
Metro what?
Metro's sucking.
Does that mean they have great pomade and cute sweaters? What?
So I'm looking at this going, the only challenge I see is maybe the Habs.
Habs are going to be tough.
Although the Devils played a great game last night, I haven't even paid attention to what the Flames have been doing. I just happened to catch part of the Devils game last night.
So. Out of the East, I always root for the Habs. The Habs don't have it, and I'm worried that the Habs just won't be able to pull it off all that well. They've got a lot of injuries this year. Their depth is severely limited.
Yeah, but they're still tied for first in the Atlantic.
Ah, point.
Although, I mean, they're only 1 point up on the Wild. Yeah, it's going to be close.
And the Wild have always handled themselves just fine with the Flames.
I think they've always they've handled themselves pretty decent with any of the East Coast teams previously, but they've always had more of the trap
system.
Well,
the Flames used to be a divisional rival. And is it still Kipper in net for him?
No, he retired.
Thank God. Except it would have been easier for us had he not.
Yeah. Well, you know, up until I think was it last year, maybe the year before, the Flames always killed the Wild, especially in the Saddle Dome.
On their home ice, yes.
Right. And, you know, last year and a half, things have kind of changed between the Wild and Calgary. Yeah. And I think the Wild have finally got Calgary's number down.
Yep. Once Calgary traded Jerome Ginla.
Once Ginla was gone.
You knew their franchise was
They
on
don't
a
have Kiprasov anymore.
Nope.
So I think that's going to be a fun game. I think the New Jersey game is going to be a fun game for Parise. Habs game, well, we don't get to see him here very often, so it'll just be a fun game all around.
Yeah. It's killing me. I got to work that night.
So, Josh, if I heard you right, you need to have a Jerome on your team to win?
Apparently, Jive. Apparently. Oh, good all God. Right. That brings us up to Gophers Men's. Wrong soundbite, Jive.
Sure, we'll go with that. So, last Friday.
Wait. We should at least back up long enough to say, after making a comment about needing a Jerome to win, we get the wrong soundbite out of the Jerome we have.
You get the goal horn, of course.
Man. All right. You are one pathetic loser.
Gophers Friday, Kenny. Hit us.
Gophers Friday. So.
Wait a minute.
What are we waiting on now?
Let's redo it.
Why?
No. Right. Keep going.
Here we go.
So,
press on, good sir.
And for the second time on Friday, the Gophers were playing Boston College last weekend. So they technically lost in the shootout, but NCAA rules doesn't dictate the shootout loss as a loss, so they got a tie against the number five.
Well, in interconference.
They're not interconference. BC's
inter.
Not-
Not intra.
Inter.
Inter.
Interconference? BC's not interconference. They're not Big Ten.
Internet. Does somebody want to internet, interstate, intrastate. Interesting.
Okay, so as we get the flowchart out to explain
Ohio
to Kenny.
Ohio State is intra-conference.
Yes.
BC would be interconference, meaning they're playing a different conference.
Oh, good
Which
God.
Means that the shootout is
I
not
just
recognized.
Completely, but it intra-conference, it is recognized.
Oh, nerds! Yes.
Got it.
In the Big Ten Conference, they do recognize a shootout.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Jive.
And getting
so
back
anyways,
to
they lost in the shootout, but it doesn't count in inter-conference match. But they got a tie 3-3. Something funny happened.
Yeah, Hudson Fashing, right after his goal.
His first goal, right?
I think it was the first goal of the game, actually.
His first goal of his career.
Yeah, of his collegiate career. he rushed up and had a teammate kind of bear hug him, and their cages got stuck together. So he had this awkward moment where
they were cuddling.
They're cuddling, celebrating, trying to dislodge their faces from each other.
Awkward moment when your face mask is stuck next to your teammates.
And all you can smell is the chewing tobacco.
Oh. You can go out to the Big Ten Network website and view the clip because it is hilarious. We'll post a link on our Facebook page because it is just too good to pass up. And then, so after following up the tie on Friday night, the Gophers smoked Boston College 6-1.
They were number 5 ranked in the nation, by the way. So It's not like it was just some floozy team.
Not just a bunch of chumps.
I think we all know Boston College from the old lineups that we've had to face before.
You mean like last year's bracket where all of us got hosed?
Oh, yes. Yes, that might have been it.
Right.
But, so saying there are no slouches, nothing that we didn't already know. But, yeah. So, am I reading that right? 13 Gophers got 1 point?
Yeah. 13 different Gophers got 1 point that game. 10 Gophers got points in the first period alone.
Wow. God.
Yeah. So they kept the 14-game regular season unbeaten streak against non-conference foes intact.
Oh, nerds!
All right. And I totally made sure I had this since I had you guys have to fact-check me last week. No games this week. They've got off week. Yeah, they've got an off week. No games for the men's Gophers team. Could have played the Sioux. Wouldn't have cared if it was at Ralph Engelstad or at Mariucci. Still would have loved to have seen that matchup like we were promised when they moved to the Big Ten.
Sioux who? The team formerly known as the Sioux.
There you go.
I think they're just North Dakota now.
Yeah, I think
They're officially still
they have
the
no
Sioux.
Name.
They're officially legally still the Sioux for what, another year?
No, they're not.
I thought through 2014.
Nope. They are.
Okay, whatever arena.
They've got no name.
Whatever arena that was formerly known as Ralph Engelstad, because that arena no longer exists and all the funding from Ralph Engelstad has been pulled due to the fact that they changed their name. It would have been nice to see them play. About we get
Josh,
another quick soundbite?
Josh, you want to hear something? Wait. You want to hear something even better?
Yeah.
They were on a bye week last week.
Oh.
It was the U.S. Under 18 team exhibition game last Saturday. That's what they had on their schedule.
Even more anger. Oh, let's go to Gophers Women's Week.
So, yes, the Lady Gophers pounded those Lady Beavers 4-0 on Friday night.
Say it slower and more sexy.
They just
You're a big boy. Use your big boy words.
Pounded on those Beavers last week up in Bemidji.
Yes, Bemidji. Just a giant, gaping beaver net that got pounded. 4-0.
So violent and dangerous.
4-0 on Friday.
Then they followed up on Saturday night with a 4-3 win, eking it out. They were tied three times within the game. And they were tied, actually, with less than 9 minutes left in the game.
It was like 12 and a half minutes, I think, when they got the game-winning goal.
I believe you're right.
So are you saying minutes. The Beavers tried to grind back into them?
Yes, they did.
All right.
They were a little bit more grinding that second time around.
Oh. Yeah, and that keeps it at 57 games, right?
Yep, brings
57 game winning streak.
Super sexy.
Do we need to start taking bets on when this winning streak will
end? It's
got to
end some point,
it
right?
It does.
Yeah, I mean, I think we already had one quick thing on people posting ideas for drinking rules. I think maybe next week, start thinking about it. We'll have a competition with some sort of prize to give out.
So you're guaranteeing me that they're going to win next weekend?
Well, they are playing Mankato State.
Well, aren't we all, like, basically engaging in the gambler's fallacy? Because their 57 wins before next week's games have no impact on the
next week's games. No, totally.
You know, honestly, I wouldn't put it, if they're going to get a loss, next week might be the week. Because, I mean, they're doing a home-and-home against Minnesota State Mankato.
Which is why we're also not going to necessarily offer up any sort of prize, even if it's just kudos from us on the air. But we're not going to offer up any price. We'll figure out something next week if they make it through this weekend unscathed.
A trip next time to see the Beavers?
Yes. They do they do play the Beavers again.
Yeah, but just over at the Double Deuce, right?
Yes. So the Lady Gophers have not allowed a power play goal since the first period on October 11th at the 9:20 mark. So they killed their last 15 penalties. That's quite a stretch. With another shutout involved on Friday night, I think they're doing pretty good this year.
Both Gophers teams, men's and ladies, are being sick and amazing.
Yeah. And even without Nora Roddy.
And they're both sitting at number one.
Yes,
and
they are.
Even though they both lost major players last year.
Oh,
they're
both
still
of them lost
top of the game.
Really high end players.
I do believe that yes, we did announce that the ladies will be playing Mankato State Friday and Saturday. Doing a home and home, but that will bring us up to
Hold on, that's one of two home and homes that they got this year.
Yeah, and that was also mentioned.
Well,
there's more depth. Go for it.
The other one is also against Mankato later in the year, but the home game for the Gophers is going to be the outdoor game at TCF Stadium on January 17th, which is kind of the precursor to Hockey Day Minnesota.
Yes,
same weekend.
That would be the Friday night just before.
Yep, and
all the festivities.
Men's Gophers are
playing. I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Afterwards, so.
All right. Let's see. Do we have anything we can put in the queue here to get us to the game of the week?
Game of the week.
Da 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 da
da da da. That'll do. All right. Cool. So the previous game of the week. That was me picking the game, and that was the Wild at home against the Blackhawks.
On Monday night. Basically, myself and Kenny picked the Wild to win. We were obviously losers there. Jive and Josh both picked the Blackhawks. They went then down to a breakdown of complicated scoring points, and Jive wins. So
yeah, Jive overall won. He had the aggregate score to be 1-3 favored by the Blackhawks. I had 4-3 favored by the Blackhawks.
So there's only two goal differential on the Jive side. So he wins.
He
picks the game of the week for this week, and that is Wild.
Jive. Announce it.
Wow, you're looking to set me up first. For the game of the week, we're doing the Wild versus New Jersey. Correct.
All right. It's your pick. So.
I'm gonna have to go with the Wild take in this one. Let me think here. 3-1. There we go. 3-1. The Wild take that one handily. Thanks.
Okay. somehow I managed to screw somebody's score up that they were plugging in.
Damn it!
So I'll go next. What the hell?
Thank you.
I'm gonna go with the Wild win. 5-3. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to stick to it.
Somebody keeps deleting my crap, but
I can't. I'm going to say 3-2 Wild win.
And I got a 4-2 Wild win.
All right. So, while we're fighting with our own internal communications to make sure that we've got our scoring thing picked out so that we can figure out who gets to pick the next game of the week. Oh, look, and we're all on Wild as the winner on that. Nobody.
And we all got varied scores this time, so hopefully it should make for
it
an
will come down to points.
Yeah, totally.
All
interesting
right.
game. If New Jersey happens to win,
we'll still figure it out a winner.
Yeah, right. Just do the typical scoring.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds good. And
so with that.
With that, I got one quick thing that we got to talk about that we haven't brought up all season yet.
Yeah.
What we would like from you, the listeners. We're going to do a poll for sure to find out.
Yo.
No, this has nothing to do with yo. This has to do with high school hockey. Instead of just giving you a quick breakdown of what's going on in the prep picture, high school, like for the high school hockey and all that, we'd like you to pick a team for us to cover. We will gladly cover whichever team you guys pick. So if you're listening, and obviously then you probably know about facebook.com/3inthebox, the numeral 3.
Nerds!
post it up there. We'll start another poll there, and we'll let you add whatever team you want or vote for a team that's already been put on there on whichever high school team you'd like us to cover, because by the end of November, last week of November, hockey season starts for the high school. So we're going to need to get some votes in, kids. Beyond that, anybody got anything they want to add from any of the games? And was there any weird Olympic? No.
No.
Never mind.
No.
We got a whole lot. Oh, I got a, there's one big Minnesota hockey news.
There we go. I knew there was something hiding yet.
Yes. The future Wild forward, Vanek, got traded from Buffalo.
To the Islanders.
To the Islanders. Yes. And former Gopher, I should note.
Former Gopher is stud and superstar.
Had it on their front page for the Gophers men's hockey.
Yeah.
So Vanek is now with the Islanders, and hopefully, and I agree, future Wild player, Thomas Vanek.
You know, figure Heatley's gone next year. That opens up a lot of cap space.
Now that opens up four players worth of cap space.
Please.
Yo, or Fletcher, sorry, not yo. Fletcher, if you're listening, yo, help demand this. Fletcher, we want Vanek back on Minnesota ice.
And you got to figure he's going to go somewhere. Even though the Islanders gave up a first rounder and a second rounder and Matt Molson for him.
Yeah, Buffalo kind of got the better end of that deal.
Oh, no doubt. For a rental, no doubt.
Yeah, totally a rental. I didn't realize he was an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season when you said that. I was like, oh, God, they ended up tied in with him. Ah.
You gotta figure Fletcher's going to take a run at him.
He's got to.
Yeah.
He can't not, especially with how well he's been honoring.
I'm sure talks are already happening.
And he's buddies with Pominville.
And he's from Minnesota.
And he's from Minnesota.
Wait, and but has who's hung out and give played him the with biggest Parisi paycheck. And Suter often enough from all the kids being.
Yet, who's going to give him the biggest
sometimes
paycheck?
Sometimes
the
check isn't
Wisconsin.
The final answer.
And I think Vanek's wife is from here, too.
Yeah, I believe
wouldn't
you're
surprise
right.
Surprise me.
I believe I read that as well. So, yeah. That seemed to be enough to get Parisi and Suter here. That's all I'm saying.
Vanek's wife.
Vanek's wife.
Vanek's wife is enough to get Parisian suitor here.
I think we found a name for the episode. I could be wrong. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Three in the Box. Thank you very much for listening. We will keep coming at you every week. We're still sorting out some mild technical difficulties for when some of us are out of town, because I really want to be able to report from Prague. But with that...
Yeah, this is Aaron. You can reach me on Twitter at AaronGNP. And you can check out me and the band at pinrot.com, where we might post something sometime.
Or whatever.
And this is Jive Man in the soundboard over here and putting in my stupid, senseless words once in a while. You can follow me at Jive Midnight. Recent partaker in traffic around the cities here, so... Don't you know if you need to know how to get around?
Follow the drive cam.
There you go.
And this is Kenny. So, yeah, Pinrot, yes, good. Three in the Box, yes, good. Rotten K999, if you want to see some weird shit, go for it.
Is that a porn site or a Twitter thing?
That's all Twitter.
Okay, just checking. And, of course, I am the Meat Beast. Thanks to Cyanet Radio for making sure we're going to get broadcast again on their station, which might actually lead us to being broadcast on terrestrial signal here in the next couple of months. You can follow me on facebook.com/TheMeatBeast. Cheers, kids.